Wonderful.
Say when two or more. A goblet. In your name.
Yeah, hey, and we recorded that too. That's kind of cool. A little parody.
Uh-huh. Ready?
Yeah, go ahead, man. All right. We locked in.
Hello, beautiful people. Thank you for tuning in today. My name is Jasmine. I'll be your host today, and I'm alongside my co-host,
Jordan. Tapped in with y'all.
So today we are breaking bread with each other and with you guys at home, and we're here to talk about our faith in God and our spiritual practices and our religions. And we are all people who we grew up around the name of God, around church, different capacities. But one thing that I think that we can all agree on is that it's different when you get to have that relationship for yourself, when you come to know God for yourself. Yeah. And that's the one thing that really changes the game. So we're here to talk about that today. For people who are maybe viewing this and you have your own relationship with God, please let us know how you got there. And if you haven't yet and you haven't quite understood what it's like and you don't really know, you know, how to get there, we're hoping that even this video could reach you and maybe encourage you or give you some insight in how to start your own relationship with God too in this crazy world that we live in. So, Jordan, you can take it away.
Oh, man. All right. So, again, my name is Jordan Smith. We're here to break bread with y'all, and I'm excited to introduce my guest here, starting first closest to me.
Hello, world. My name is Patrick Ocon, visual artist, lover of God. I'm happy that you got me here today. I appreciate it, man.
Yeah, man. And then last but not least.
Hey, y'all. My name is Gabrielle. I am the founder of Youth in Christ. We are a youth organization based out of, I'm going to say, Stamford, Connecticut. So we just kind of bring young souls to Christ, and young souls who have fallen off, we bring them back to Christ. So I'm so excited to be here. If you follow the page, I love talking about the Lord, and I love talking about Jesus. It gets me excited. So I'm really blessed to be here.
Nice, nice, nice. So starting it off, we're not going to dive deep into it. Like, we're not going to get deep level just yet. We're going to ease into it.
You feel me?
Test the water a little bit. So I want to know some of your Christian faves, you know, because I know for me, my mother was always playing gospel music, and some of those songs, like, they still resonate with me today. And then as I've developed my own relationship, I love different things now, and I see gospel in a different way now. So starting with you, Gabby, who is your favorite gospel artist?
So I'm very, like, old school. I really love Fred Hammond. Like, okay. I will listen. Yes, like, literally, every morning that I wake up, I start each morning with gospel, and I will literally start with Fred Hammond. The song is called Trust. And it's like, it's a bop. You guys should listen to it. It's a bop. And I make my daughter listen to it, and she does that, like, little dance. So I'm a fanatic for Fred Hammond.
Nice.
Okay. And what about you, man?
It's a mix. Like, I like Ty Tribbett a lot.
Okay.
Kirk Franklin, of course. Like, that's the known, like, everybody does. But I mean, like, you can't discredit the work that he's done. Being able to just blend everything together but still keep it, like, straightforward is really dope. But I definitely would say probably, like, a Ty Tribbett.
Okay.
I really like Ty Tribbett.
I don't want to be repetitive, but that's my answer, too. Ty Tribbett do it.
He do it, man.
It's something about the energy he brings, and that's him all the time.
Yeah.
Like, whether it's in the music, whether it's him preaching, him just talking to you, like, energy is crazy the entire time.
Yeah.
So, Jazz, what about you, man?
I'm a big Ty Tribbett fan. His music really ministers to me, but I'm going to have to say my all-time favorite is Marvin Sapp. Like,
Marvin Sapp.
He has some cuts, for real.
He has that baritone kind of like.
He has some cuts, for real.
He been in the game for a minute, too.
I love me some Marvin Sapp.
Never would have made it.
You know, Marvin Sapp will take you to glory.
Yes,
he will. Take you to glory.
And I feel like he has music for, like, okay, you want to get up, dance, and move, but also those, like, late night, you know, down on these really praying on the bedside kind of.
Yes. You know,
get my prayer closet.
Yeah.
I'm trying to change my life. Marvin.
Yes. He has this song, I think it's called Live, and throughout that song, he's saying, like, you shall live and not die. And I've had to play that song every day for a season. Like, that song really got me through. So he can really minister into his music. Yeah. And it's so, like you said, entertaining. It'll get you hyped up. Marvin is my guy.
True.
So now, bouncing off of that, we got favorite gospel artists, you know, things we go to in our time of need. But we're also in that era where there's, like, more and more big pastors, like pastors of really large churches, large flocks. So do you guys have obviously you have your church home, but is there a pastor like that you watch online where it's like that they might be spitting to you, or do y'all just keep watching who's in your church home?
I am a big fan of Sarah Jakes. I'm really a big fan of her. Like, it just, even when in my younger years, I used to be like, "Ooh, I want to preach like her." Mm. Like, she is, mm-hmm. she can preach.
She can preach her pants off.
Yeah, and she's gotten like, over the years, I just watched her, and I'm like, oh yeah, like you can literally see like the work that the Lord is doing in her from like how she started to like she is like she carries power. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's like, it's from the Lord, but like you can see like just how like she started like just like kind of timid, and now she's just like a lion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
One thing about Sarah Jakes Roberts, like once I see on Instagram any woman start posting Sarah Jakes Roberts clips, I'm like, yeah, you gotta leave her alone. Like, if you're not really ready to take her serious, you're not ready to take her serious, leave her alone. But when she start posting Sarah Jakes Roberts, it's a wrap. She in her empowerment mode. Like, leave her alone.
Oh man, I feel like it's a few, but like I just from growing up, it was always on. Like T.D. Jakes was always on, and I feel like because he believed it, he has that belief that you need to borrow sometimes. Like, you know, when mm-hmm. you're like a little bit low, and like listening to him is like that expressive. Mm-hmm. Like, it gives you that feeling, like, you know what, you're right. Like, you know what, you got. Like, he's almost like carrying you across that finish line for that moment, or you will. God, of course, really doing it, but him using him as that vessel. And like, it's kind of piggybacking off what you said. Like, you can see it within him. Like, you know, everybody has that blessing, but there's just those people, man, you could tell when God is literally just speaking through them instead of like God mm-hmm. giving someone a message mm-hmm. and then they're God reiterating it. Man. Yeah, man.
I think, man. For me, and it's going to be the same answer again from my last answer, is Ty Trivet. Yeah. Mm. And yeah, he was a person I didn't know preached until I needed to find him. It was one of them kind of things. And I was working full time and in grad school, and I was just going through a real rough point in my life. And on my way to school and on my way back from school, I would listen to one of his sermons, like there and back. So I'm getting two in every day. And it just got me through, man. And like I was saying, that same energy in the music is like he carries it into his preaching, and it's just the way he's able to take such an abstract concept like the Bible and make it relate perfectly to what your life is. Mm-hmm. I'm like, man, nah, I gotta keep listening to this dude, man. So that's what's been doing it for me, man. Nice. So
cool. I'm not gonna lie, I didn't know that Ty Trippett preached. I gotta find him on YouTube.
That's news to me right now. Yeah. So I'm not gonna even say
I'm gonna check him out.
He's probably in church in Orlando.
Yeah, I found clips of him on TikTok.
Wow.
Preaching. That's literally how I found out he preached. I was like, wait a second.
I'm like, hold on now, Pastor. You get to it like this? Uh-huh.
Nice. Okay, cool. I'm going to definitely check him out. I'm also a big, big, big fan of Sarah Jakes Roberts. I love her. Like, she has really, really helped me elevate myself and elevate my relationship with God. And she's told me so much. And, like, how she preaches and her just being a woman who stands for, like, you know, godly principles, is that itself is amazing and empowering and inspiring. But the way that she preaches that word, like, she could preach her socks off. So I'm a big Sarah Jakes Roberts fan, too.
Nah, I'll be seeing the clips you be sharing.
Yeah, that's my girl.
She going crazy right now.
Nah, she be cooking. She be cooking for real. She really do.
Let her cook. Sarah's really good. You know, I think another reason why I relate to her so well is she had her daughter, like, so young.
Yes.
And all, like, the backlash and stuff that she got from the church. Mm. And then I didn't have my daughter young. I'm an old lady. But but I had my daughter out of wedlock. So, like, I kind of related to just her, just all that she was getting and mm-hmm. then all that I mm-hmm. got from, like, in the church and being in ministry and stuff. So I was like, yeah, this.
Yes. And God has done some amazing things with her. So mm-hmm. she's really a great example of, like, you know, if anybody can make it.
Then yes. Yeah. Yes.
That's a fact.
Absolutely.
That's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
So now the last fave I want to get into, and test y'all Bible knowledge a little bit, you know what I mean? What is your favorite Bible verse? And it could be just that verse that you run to when you're down, or just that one you first remembered when you was a kid, and then, like, this is it. But what's your favorite Bible verse?
I gotta really think. Uh-huh.
I want to say for me, so I love the whole Psalm 27, but the first two verses, Psalm 27, 1 and 2, it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Mm. And that, it, like, every day it plays in my head, like, you can do anything. you can withstand anything because you have the Lord.
She might, yeah.
So I'm like, yeah.
That's a good one.
I stand by that one.
I might have to piggyback, man. Like, mm-hmm. I don't really want to echo it, but it's true.
It's okay.
It's true, though, because especially through life and, like, growing up and, like, even the demographic of just being in an inner city,
yeah.
like, me saying those words to myself is, like, it's a true power. Like, you're speaking that, like, safe veil over yourself, like, you know, and really putting mm-hmm. your armor on mm-hmm. before you hit that door yeah. and walk yeah. outside. Like, so I definitely would piggyback and really say, like, Psalms. Psalms has a lot of... Most of my favorites are really from the Psalms.
Yeah.
Like, I thought of, when you said it, I thought of like three or four different things from the Psalms, personally. Mm. Psalms and John. I like John a lot, too. It's yes. a great, great story.
I think mine would have to be, I think it's Jeremiah 27:9. I might be wrong, so don't yell at me if it's wrong, please. Like, but I think it's 27:9, and it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?"
Mm.
And you know when you're young and you just open the Bible randomly and like hope you find something?
Yeah.
I did that and I found it and I was like, oh, this is crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, I might get this tatted.
Oh,
and then I got older and I started to understand it. And I'm like, you know, as much as we say like, you know, you gotta do this from the heart, do this from the heart.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, our heart is still flesh.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? And like, as much as your heart may have the right intentions, if it's not led by God,
yep.
it's still the wrong thing. You're That's still being one. Led by flesh. And yeah. I was like, dang, okay, your heart is deceitful. Mm-hmm. Like it feels good. Mm-hmm. It looked good. Mm-hmm. I think it's good. I'm doing it for the right reasons, but yeah. it's not what God wants for me.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, okay. So the older I got, the more I looked at it, I'm like, man, this just keeps speaking to me. So yeah. Jeremiah 27:9, that's the one that did it for me, man.
Nice. I love how, like, you know, the Bible says that the word is living word, and it is so true. Like, you could really hear a word, and it could give you the bolt that you need. It can give you that comfort that you need. So it's amazing, like, you know, the power, the word really has power. One of my favorites is, "For we struggle not against flesh and blood, but of principalities and mm-hmm. powers in high places."
Yes.
And that one right there, it actually gave me, like, a new perspective of the world, and it really taught me about a lot of the things that I battle with personally and that we battle with in the world. It can't be fought with flesh. You have to really, like, you know, put your armor on and yeah. really fight it. So that one right there gave me a new perspective and really gave me, like a little shield, you know, mm-hmm. to put on when it comes time to fight mm-hmm. things. So that's my verse.
I love that, man. And that, like you said, yo, it's really a fight. Like, yeah. it's really a fight. You got to yeah. fight spirit mm-hmm. spirit, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we under attack as believers, mm-hmm. like, and especially us gathering to try and do something like this, like even this will yes. come under attack. So nah, that's major,
yeah.
man.
Yeah.
So now we got the easy stuff out the way. You feel me? That was light. let's get into something a little bit deeper, man. So one thing I would love to know from the two of you is, were you raised in church? And then at what point did, you know, because when you're young, it's like, you've got to go to church. Like, if yeah. you are raised in church, and then at some point it's like, are you coming to church today? Like, my mom did that to me. And then it's like, dang, am I choosing church now, or was mm-hmm. I forced in church? So, like, were you raised in church, and at what point did you start going for yourself?
I was raised within church.
Mm.
And I feel like it's funny because I think I hit like a flip. So growing up, like being young, like I got baptized when I was like six or seven. And like I had a really deep interest before I really knew what it was. Because like you're young and you grasp certain things, and I understood it and I had that deep like love for it. And then I think I hit about like 13 and I was going through a lot. And before I knew it, I kind of just like stopped for a bit. Because then that's where you get to that age of like, okay, like this is real now. Like you start understanding your emotions more. You start mm-hmm. kind of like grasping things. And then when I hit, like I still was going between 13 to 17. And then when I was 17, we got a new church home. And then from there, that's when like I kind of started really going for myself, like really having that deeper connection. Nice. Finding like the prayer closet, different things like that. So that's kind of like around the time where it came about. So I'd say probably like 17, I started really going for myself.
Nice.
I grew up in church. So both my parents are pastors. And my father's a bishop. My mom's a pastor.
Okay.
So I was like,
oh, so he was there.
I was the PK. Damn. So like we were always like, me and my siblings, we were always forced to go to church.
Right.
And even like now, like, I'm 28 years old, but like, there's no like, are you going to church? Like, for you, it was like, are you going to get up? You're going to church. So like, it was always a thing where like, you know, you have to go to church because like, you know, I didn't always have my own car. So like, where my parents go, you have to go.
Right.
But I want to say maybe like my junior year of college, that's when I really was like going to church for myself because I was going through a lot. Like, I was just going through a lot, mm-hmm. and I was like, I was in an abusive relationship, and I was like, yo, I need to stop. Like, I need the Lord. I need the Lord, and I need him for like me. I don't need to go so people could see like the pastor and his children are in church, but I needed to go for me. Like, I needed to go and speak to my father. So that's when I was like, yeah, girl, come on. Just keep that on.
Get in there. Get in
there.
Jazz, what about you, man?
I will say, My mom took us to church a lot, but my dad, he taught me a lot about religion, a lot about spirituality, and he is the most knowledgeable person about church that I know, about God and the Bible that I know. But he actually never goes to church. Like, he wants a foot in the church. Yeah, he'll watch a sermon all day long. Like, you know, he knows the word, like, really. But he never goes to church. So I kind of grew up knowing that church is not the basis for a connection to God. So even like, you know, if I didn't have my years, maybe I didn't go to church all the time, my dad always taught me about the word. So I wasn't necessarily brought up in church. My whole family was like, they were, you're going to church today. So I have family who's like that. But I started going to church for myself around 2019, which was, again, I had like, I was going through that valley in my life, and I needed to like, I realized that I couldn't do it on my own. So around that time, I found a church home, and I found the value of, like, you know, being around a community and stuff like that. So around 2019, I started going, and I really enjoy it, and I love
Again, I am glad to have y'all here. I appreciate y'all taking the time out of y'all day to make this happen. You know, like to take time. Like, this is a beautiful assembly of God. Like, for us to come together and talk about God, especially people our age, is one of the biggest reasons we wanted to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, when you're our age, it's almost not cool to talk about God, but we're slowly breaking through that. And like, this is another step towards being like forward in our faith, you know, and not being ashamed of it. So with that being said, I want to get into some real questions. We're going to dig a little deep today. I hope y'all are cool with that. You feel me? Transparency, we love it.
Yep.
So I want to hit y'all in the head right away. Can you share a glimpse with us of what it was like before you found God for yourself and what it was like after you found God for yourself?
This might sound very cliche, but it was like hell on earth. I'm serious. Like, before that. God, it was literally like I was like living in a constant state of hell. And there was like, I felt like there was, I was always just sad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was a lot. And then after, when I was like, there was a period of time when I was just like, all right, whatever, God. But then I recommitted and I rededicated myself to him. And literally, I had a peace that made no sense. Like, a peace that surpasses understanding. Like, how the Bible says, like, literally. And one day I was just thinking about it and I was like, life is very peaceful. Like, there's a lot going around, but like, you are just like, everything is just calm. Like, there's so much happening, but you are calm. And then the Lord was reminding me, like, you have a peace that surpasses understanding because of me.
So it's a beautiful feeling.
Very.
Amen. No, it's definitely almost just echoing the same. Like, I feel like before really finding God, and really like committing myself, because, you know, we grow up, we know who God is, but really having that level of commitment, it definitely was like hell. And it's a feeling of just floating, like you're just there. You don't, you're not anchored within anything specifically. Having those days where you're like, why am I melancholy? Why am I sad? Nothing specifically going on, but even with the good, you can't break that ceiling. Like, you're just like, I can't be excited, I can't feel
no amount of effort.
Like, it's just so good. Like, okay, I'm graduating, I'm doing this is going on, but like, I'm just like, okay, like everything was just meh. And I feel like after that, like that level of like kind of like that peace, because growing up I always was slightly level-headed, but it was within flesh. So like, kind of having that deeper feeling, it's like, okay, no matter what happens, like, I know God has me. And that's like a feeling that you can't trade for anything.
You can't
trade
it. You can't make it up either.
No, you can't. You can't.
You feel it. It's real, man.
Yeah, it's true, man.
So now, Jazz, what about you, man?
I feel exactly the same. I would have to say before God, I felt so like helpless and powerless. Mm-hmm. And at this moment, I feel triumphant and I feel like I'm on top of the world. And yes. I agree with the peace that surpasses understanding, because beforehand, like, you know, I would just be down. I would feel so sad. I felt like I couldn't shake it. You know, I felt like it would be hard for me to overcome the struggles that I was going through, and I felt like I didn't have any power or any way out. And then once I tapped into that higher source, and you know, the source of all my power, life really, really changed for me. I became so much happier. I had that moment too, like, wow, like, I'm really happy.
Yeah.
It's not that bad.
Right.
It really changes your lens.
Like, yes. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. So I went from, you know, helpless to feeling like triumphant in anything that I go through.
And very victorious. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, literally, man. And my experience was kind of similar. Like, before I really found God for myself, I was sad a lot. But I was that kind of person where I wouldn't allow myself to ever feel it. I would just push through it. And I became that kind of person where it's like, I'm going to just do everything on my own. I became so self-reliant. Mm. And now that I have God in my life, I realize that, like, I really can't do nothing apart from him.
Yes.
Like, anything I try to do and don't involve him in, it either frustrates me to no end and I want to give up, or I just can't succeed in it.
Yeah.
And that's, like, in everything I touch. Like, if I'm in it and God's not in it, he's going to, like, let me drive this thing into a wall and fail. And it's like, God has changed me so much, man. And now, like y'all been saying, I'm like, I'm happier. Like, I posted the other day, I was like, for the first time in a long time, like, I'd be like, yo, I'm happy. Yeah. And it's a beautiful thing, man. And I could only give God that credit, because I couldn't do it myself.
Yeah.
You know, I was failing doing it myself. But God, he really did it, man. Yes. He doing his thing. So piggybacking off of that, you know, like, there's the before God in our life. There's the after God in our life. And, like, a lot of times when you're transitioning, there's going to be pieces of you that can't step into that next side with you.
Yeah.
So now, is there anything that you had to let go of as you got deeper in a relationship with God?
My friend group.
Let's talk about that. That's a tough one.
It is. But so the Bible does tell us that, you know, it doesn't say specifically kingdom friendships, but it does tell you that you should have godly counsel with you.
That's true.
And a lot of the friends that I had were not that. And, you know, it was difficult because I was like, well, I love them so much. But the Lord was also like, I need you to be set apart. I need you to be different. Yes, you can love them, but there are certain things that you cannot be involved in. So I had to, like, it was very, very hard. And for a long time, I would fight it. I would really fight it. But the Lord was like, hey, it's either me or it's them. So I was like, oh, I'm rocking with you. So I'm going to be obedient to what you're saying. So I think that was very difficult because I'm a people lover. And it's very hard for me to let go. Like, people know I'm, like, very forgiving. There's people I've done things for years, and I would always forgive. But then the Lord was like, it's time to cut that off.
Yeah.
So I think that was it.
Yeah, I think very much in the same way. Like, coming up, you know, you're growing up, and I mean, part of it is natural too. Like, you're gonna grow out of people. Like, there's gonna be people you're around, and because of the loyalty of, oh, I've known this person for like 10 years, so you're still around them. But like, that was it for me, and I think it kind of piggybacked into, like, the last thing we were talking about, because in that state of feeling sad, like, it was because God would just keep taking people from around me. And I would just be like, yo, like, I'm out. And you know, like, when you have that feeling of, like, you keep telling people, like, yo, I'm not cool with this person no more, and they think it's you. Like, they're like, what's wrong with you? Like, why? But it was really God stepping in and seeing all the things that I couldn't see. And it's not, like you said, it's not that the people are bad people. It's not like they were out here robbing, killing, and stealing. But they say, even in a flesh sense, you won't be bigger than the people you hang around for no reason. And so eventually, if you look at that in a spiritual aspect and, like, sit there, I had to really, like, God had to bring me alone. He had to cut the background noise, the white noise. He had to, like, put me in that space and say, like, okay, this is, like, what I need you to do. And you won't notice it, because every day you're with a friend, you're doing stuff, and you're staying busy. And before you know it, the days just roll by. He just was like, yeah, no, I'm going to have you alone. I'm going to bring you down to the depths.
Got more in store for you. You got to come this way, man.
Yeah, it's true, man.
Nah, got to really do that, bro. I think for me, it wasn't even necessarily, like, something he asked me to let go of. But it was just a sense of like, the closer I got to him, more things just fell off me.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Like, it wasn't like, okay, well, if you're going to do this, I need you to give me this. And mm-hmm. it was more like, I don't have the desire
to do those things.
To do the things I used to do or be around the things I used to be around. Like, mm-hmm. it just, like, y'all know me. Yeah. I used to be in the club with the fur coat on.
Man, listen. I was
in the club. You definitely bathroom with the mink on, man. With the,
what? Yeah, so like I was a very different person. Like I was known for a lot of different reasons.
Yeah.
And over time, it just was not me no more. Mm. And it wasn't that like it stopped being fun. Like it's still fun, but it just wasn't me anymore.
Yeah.
So those things just started to fall off of me. And it's like you said, it affects friendships, because then I got friends that look at me like, yo, you don't hang out with us no more. You don't see us no more.
That's
like,
what it is.
You better than me or something.
Yeah. Like, you know, it's just like, that's just not me anymore. Yeah. You know, and I can't force myself to make that me no more.
Yep.
You know, like it takes more energy to force that than it just.
Because you know, against yourself.
Back. And I want to swing back and touch base on when you're in that season of God. Having you in that intimate space with him, and you know, looking back at it, it's a blessing because you see what God didn't allow to touch you or influence you or distract you.
Right.
So you know, you can look back and think that it was a valuable time, but in the thick of it, when you're losing friends left and right, and you know, you're having all these issues and you're finding yourself in such a new space, it can be so hard to navigate. So, you know, how did you guys, what did that season look like for you? Maybe how long did it last, if you're still in it? And maybe, like, what's the one piece of advice you can give to someone that's going through that season? Like, they're in that little cocoon, but, you know, when they get out, things will get better. So, share what you like about that season of life for you and how it can be tough, but when you get out of it, you realize that it's really a blessing.
You know, it could be very ugly. I'll be honest.
Heavy on the ugly.
Yeah, it can be very ugly and you feel alone. Like mm-hmm. physically you'll feel alone, but God will constantly remind you like my presence is there. Mm-hmm. Like you're not really alone. You still have me, but I'm going to make you alone to the rest of the world. Does that make sense?
Yes,
that makes sense.
Yes,
So yeah, it was a very ugly time for me. And it honestly, it didn't last that long because once God separated me, I was in position for what he needed me to do.
Yeah.
So literally like it was for a small period of time, and it was just, I was like, I felt like, you know, somebody that was going through withdrawal.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I literally like, that's literally like how it. I felt. And then, just God was constantly reminding me, like, I'm doing this for a reason. There's a purpose. Like there, I'm driving you into purpose. I'm pushing you into purpose, but this needs to happen in order for you to be ready, in order for you to be positioned. So my advice to anybody would be just remind yourself,
mm-hmm.
even if you can't hear, you feel like you can't hear the voice of God, remind yourself that he is always with me and that I'm going to get through these storms. Like, think of the story of Job. If you guys are familiar with the story of Job, like he was a man of faith.
Mm-hmm.
He was going through everything, mm-hmm. but he was a man of faith. Like, he still had that faith in God. Like, just remain with God. Like, mm-hmm. your faith will increase because you'll know that at the end of it, God was with me.
Yes.
Yep.
I was going through it, but God was with me as I was going through it. So I wasn't really alone. I had him. So, yeah. And there's a lot of stories in the Bible that will just constantly remind you that, like,
absolutely.
God is with you through with this. You.
Yes. Finding some good scripture and a good story can really help you, encourage you in your own life. Really can.
Yeah. It's true. I mean, I feel like right now, to an extent, I'm kind of still going through it, but it's more or less like it's on the other half of it. But while I was really in the storm of it when I was younger, I mean, I'm still young now, but like when I was like 16, 17, what really got me through it was I had to crash and burn, man. Mm, I had to crash and burn and rebuild everything and crash and burn it again. Mm-hmm. And then rebuild. And you're going to go through that cycle, man. Like, hey, anything worth it in life does not come easy.
Yes.
It does not. Unless it's just a God-given gift or something, but basic fundamentals in life, it doesn't come that easy. And it was one day when I was going through the midst of it, I remember I was very depressed. I had a lot going on, and I was like 17, and at the time I had went into church, and it was the first time I went, and it was like not the first time, but the first time in a long time. And it was one of those Sundays where, like, you know God has something for you. Because it's always those Sundays you battle on going and you show up and you're like, man, they talk about me. Yep. And I went into the bathroom
actually, it's funny because my blessing came afterwards. I went into the bathroom like midway towards kind of like the latter half of service. And it was a man came into the bathroom and said, my wife was going to run in, but it's a male bathroom, but she has a word for you. And I was like, for me? And I'm like, what? I'll just like a bystander because I'm like, I don't really do nothing. I just be passing by. And she said, read the whole book of John, top to bottom. Like, she's like, read all of it. Like, you just need to read that. And I remember, like, I started kind of reading it, and then I fell back off. And then, long story short, through reading it, like, I kind of grasped it. And I was like, okay, like, I kind of get it. And as funny as it sounds, I was watching some Marvel movie one day. And, like, I think it was Spider-Man. And they were sitting there talking, because in most, like, things you see, like, superheroes, usually, like, they lose everything. They lose, like, everything you could think of. Like, wife died, this person, like...
Crazy backstory.
But in that long run, like, I sat there and I was like, yo, that's kind of me. Like, God is literally tearing everything down around me. So I can know what that feeling feels like. So anything that comes after this will be nothing but a blessing. Because I can't go back now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I've already hit that low. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, I feel like that was really it. Like, it just pulled me forward, man.
I identify a lot with what you said, Gabby, with like, it just feels so alone sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And then God has to constantly remind you like, yo, you're not alone. Mm-hmm. Like, you have everything you need because you have me.
Yes.
And I face that. I think that's one of my biggest battles every day, especially with the journey I find myself on. Like, I don't associate with a lot of the friends I used to associate with. I don't go to a lot of the places I used to go. And I find myself in this season of, like, isolation because God is trying to prepare me for something.
Yep. Right.
Yep. But it's like, yo, it just feels so alone. And I'll have moments where I'm in church and, like, I'm like, God, what's happening right now? Because you told me something, but it don't look like the something you told me.
Yeah, so what are we doing? Yeah.
Like, what are we really doing? Math ain't right now. And he said to me, he was like, I didn't forget about you.
Mm. Oh, wow.
You know, and I'm like waiting to hear from God. And like, he said just that. And that was it. And I was like, all right, that's enough for me. Mm-hmm, I'm not going to ask for more. Okay, I'm going to live with that. But, you know, it's like walking with God is the best place to be. Mm-hmm. But oftentimes it is like the toughest place to be.
Yeah, it can be scary, man.
Because it's like at that point, it's not about you.
Yep. Yeah.
You got to let go of all control. It's like when you were a kid and you walking across the street and you got to hold your parents' hand. Like, if you let go of that hand, you're stuck in the street like, oh, I don't know how to cross this thing. Yeah. Like, it's scary. So you got to just keep holding on to them. And I think that's where I find myself, where it's like I just can't do nothing else but hold on and navigate through that season. So, like, if you're someone who's watching and find yourself in a similar season, it's going to end soon. Just keep holding on to it. Yep. Don't let go of God. He's going to get you through that. But piggybacking off of that, one thing I definitely want to get into and ask you all is, you know, at what point in your life did you feel like you first heard God speak to you? And what does hearing God look like for you? Because a lot of times we'll get up here, like even with this conversation, like, yeah, I heard from God. But if you're someone new who may not have ever heard that, like, that's so foreign. So what was that first time hearing from God? Or like, how do you hear from God?
I don't necessarily remember the first time I heard from God. Mm. Actually, yes, I do. It was, I want to say, in like my 6th month of pregnancy. And I was really like, I'll be completely honest, I was like on the verge of suicide. Mm. But I was like trying to hold on. And I was like, there's someone else that needs me. Oh, I'm going to cry. Oh, my goodness. This is so dramatic. I was like, there's someone else that needs me. Like, you're responsible for somebody else. So, like, you just, like, hang in there. And literally, like, right before I went to bed, I prayed. And I told the Lord, I was like, I cannot do this by myself. I don't have the support. I don't have what I need. And just like he spoke to you, and he was like, I am all that you need.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, my grace is sufficient. Mm-hmm. My love is sufficient. Mm-hmm. And, I knew it was him because it wasn't something that I would say to myself.
Mm.
And this is how I've recognized, like, when God is speaking to me in my spirit, it'll be something that I wouldn't say. Like, that's not coming from Gab. It's like, I would know. I've heard him audibly. Yeah, it's not. I've been able to hear him audibly before, but that's more like when he's telling me, like, you're in the wrong. But when it's just like him speaking to me, I'll hear him in my spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So God is very mindful of us. He's yes. very mindful of yes. us. He cares. Like, and one thing I like to tell people is like, yes, God is like this powerful, but you have to see him as also like a father.
Yes.
He loves yes. you. Like, he loves you like a father yes. should love.
Yes.
So, he takes care of his children. Mm-hmm. He takes care of us.
Yeah, no, it's true. I can't think of the first time. Like, I have some memories, like my mom told me maybe like when I was a kid and I, like God was speaking through me more or less, or kind of like situations that would happen. I guess I could touch on one super, super brief. Long story short, my godmother was, she had a father who had passed, and my mom had went there to put down flowers for the, for him. And, I remember she couldn't find the gravesite, and like, she could not find it. I was probably maybe like 4 or 5. And, she couldn't find it. She went, called, like, my godmother was like, hey, you know where the plot of like land is? Like, do you know specifically where it's at? And I like literally said to my mom, like, from what she told me from verbatim, was like, no, it's okay, like, I come with me, follow me. And wow. like, I literally pulled her and pointed to the back of the tombstone.
Wow. Yeah.
And like, she walked around and was like, yo, this is like
how?
Yeah, like, this is it. And like, those small things, like, early on is probably what kind of kept me going throughout life when I had those moments, because I said God has literally mm-hmm. been like, since mm-hmm. I came out the womb, like, he saved me, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? So like, he's always been there. And I think when I know I hear him is when it's quicker than my own kind of subconscious. Like mm-hmm. when I hear something like a second or two quicker than like my brain could mm-hmm. process the thing I'm looking at, I'm like, oh yeah, he's speaking mm-hmm. right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, kind of like mm-hmm. what you're saying, like, you know it's not you right yeah. now. Like, this isn't me.
Yeah.
Like, this is coming through too clear, and it sounds like, all right, this is, you
so
know.
So I get it out, God.
Yeah, yeah, this is higher than me right now. This yeah. is bigger than what I can feel, so.
Man, I think for me, hearing from God has come in like a lot of different ways. I don't remember the first time I heard him, but when he speaks, I know it, and I'm
oh,
like,
yeah.
"Yo,
oh,
all right,
yes.
I get it." Like, I'm gonna chill, and it comes in so different ways. Sometimes it feels like an audible voice in my head, mm-hmm. and but like an authoritative one.
Yeah,
and I'm like, oh, okay, oh, yeah. yeah, you mean something,
man of power.
Sometimes I'll just be like, "God, can you just show me this?" And then something will happen in my life that is an answer mm-hmm. to a prayer,
yeah.
and I'm like, "Okay, that's God trying to speak yeah. to me." You know, so it's come in a lot of different ways, and I think the more open we are to receiving God, and the more open we are to trying to hear from him, he'll speak to us in a lot of different ways. Whether yes. it's a dream yes. through somebody else. I've had a lot of dreams. I'm like, okay, God, I get it. Like, help me make this make sense through other people, through audible voices, through people in church. Like you said, someone found you in a bathroom.
In a bathroom.
In a bathroom.
In a stall. Knocking on the stall. Like,
Say, bro, wash your hands. Like,
yeah, there's some French lady, barely even spoke English. But yeah. she had that deep connection. Mm. In
so when God wants to deliver a message to you, he's going to get to you.
He'll get it to you, man.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I will have to say that one thing that I like to use to try to measure if it's God talking to me is I try to use my gut and like my intuition to see how I feel about it. And like, you know, if I hear a direction and I pray on it and like I feel comfortable going forward, then I feel like that's God's direction. If I'm thinking about something, it might be actually me telling myself I'll pray about it. And if I feel like uneasy about it, then I won't follow through with it. So that's one thing I try to use too, like see how like my intuition. And I also like to, like, if it, like you said, like, if it's something that I wouldn't have said to myself, yeah. like, God yeah. just drops that little mm-hmm. thought, that little yeah, idea into me. Your head, and yeah. I hear that, and I'm like, I didn't think about that. And I'll, you know, try to go with that, and, yeah, usually when it sounds like something that I would have had said myself to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man. So now let me ask y'all this, right? How do y'all, because I know this has been a challenge for me, like, on many levels, how do you sprinkle Jesus into your friendships with people who may not necessarily be on the same level of faith as you, or may not even necessarily believe mm-hmm. at all, you know? Because I would love to say all my friends are on the same level as me, or they're all Christians or all believers, but like, we all walk so many different paths,
yeah,
and our relationships with God all look so different sometimes. So how do you sprinkle God into those friendships and relationships?
I would like to go. Go ahead, I will say that I've recently realized that that's something that I need to do from the beginning, or try to gauge where they're at from the beginning, rather than, you know, we see how we, if we had the same color or if we like the same music, and like, you know, let all those superficial things go by first before I realizing, or before I try to gauge how close they are to God. So I'll just literally like mention, like, you know, oh, hey, I'm fasting right now, or like, you know, I'm reading a sermon, or I'm listening to a gospel song, and I'll try to see how they feel about that going forward. Not that I'm like pressing them, but I'll just like, you know, sprinkle or mention, you know, what I'm doing in my daily practice that relates back to my relationship with God, and see how they feel about that, see how they respond to it, and kind of just like mention it little by little and see where the conversation gets us. And if the conversation doesn't get us anywhere, then I'm like, okay, I see what's up, you ain't feeling it.
Yeah. So thank you for your service.
Yeah. And then if we do get further, then like, you know, we engage in that conversation some more. But that's something that I've recently realized that it's important to do from the jump, whether it's a friend, a platonic relationship, or intimate relationship. Yeah. It's important to see where people are at with God too before we go and, you know, tell them our secrets and, you know, all that good stuff.
Don't want to be unevenly yoked.
Okay.
Don't want to be unevenly yoked, man.
Been there.
It can be a little hard to do. Sometimes it seems like it's hard to fit in there.
It can be. I think with just people that I've just been friends with for so long, like, they know what it is. Like, we're going to talk about Jesus.
Good,
and if you're going through something, I'm going to tell you something about God. And I might give you a scripture or a passage that, read this, and maybe it'll encourage you. Or, like, do this devotional. Maybe it'll help. But for like what you said, like people that I meet in the beginning, I kind of don't even go straight in it with like God this or Jesus this, but I'll show them the love of God through me.
So
like there's people that have come to my job and they've like had a conversation with me and they've just been like, are you a Christian or do you believe in God? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, I can tell, like, you are so like, it's like radiating off of you. Yeah,
that's a compliment.
So it's just like, it is my favorite compliment. I have like that, and just, you're a great mother, best compliments ever. But literally, it's like I will show them the love, that the same love, like the same way that Jesus treated people when he was walking on this earth, is the same way that I'll treat people. Even if you're super nasty to me, I'll return it with like the love of God. And it will literally, like, you will change because of how I'm acting towards you. And then that's when I'll be like, well, the Bible. And I'll bring that into it. But I always start with showing them like the love of God. And
that's
it always
a great
works.
Way. That's beautiful.
Works.
Yes, it is. I think for me, it was more or less kind of like in that same aspect, through just me also giving advice. For some reason, since I've been young, people just entrust me with all their secrets, like their deepest, darkest secrets. And I might have only known them for like 2 weeks, but people just see me as that nurturer, that person. So through that, like, I always consult God within it. So when people come to me for advice, people come to me, I always mention him. I'm like, well, did you pray? Or like, hey, can you do this? Or I'll pray for you. Just even saying that sometimes, like, yo, I'm really going to pray for you.
Yeah.
And people saying like, yo, thank you, man. I really appreciate that. Like, those small things. And then also too, through me just kind of doing what I do, whether it be through visual arts, photography, whatever I'm into, when people kind of ask me like, how are you able to get this far? How do you get these things? I could sit here and be like, well, yeah, I trained for it, which I did. But at the end of the day, God opened every single door that I walked through. So like when I tell people that, and like they're just like, oh, how'd you score this and da-da-da? I'd be like, man, God held it down for me.
Right.
Just through that, like they really stop sometimes and they're like, man, they can't say anything else, but I respect that.
Yeah.
Like, you know?
Yeah.
So just through those subtle things. And then, like you said, when that door opens, like, because you don't sometimes want to just hit someone over the head. Like, I'm holier than thou kind of
thing. Right.
But at the end of the day, once you kind of see that, like, okay, we got you there.
Yeah.
I'll go in and, like, you know, I pray for people and different things like that. So trying to bring that light into those spaces that are always as lit, because it's easy to be amongst people that are always like you, but also too, you got to do that shadow work and walk into some of those tough rooms sometimes and be that person, because it might not seem there, but planting that seed, like you said, now you might go back and look and be like, oh wow, I remember when Gabby went and prayed for me that one time, even when I was cursing her out, and or something, you know, we remember those people, man. So
that just reminded me of the parable of Jesus and the sheep. Oh, I don't know what you just said, but when it's like he left the 99 to find the one.
One, yes.
Like that
yes,
one
yeah,
person
yeah.
Oh, that you were
into
able
the
to.
Dark room. Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
That one person that you're able to minister to mm-hmm. is like, that's
it's
what
worth
he
it.
Wants.
Yes.
Yes.
Because he
absolutely.
Got all of us. But if we were able, like, for example, the guy that's helping us out, if we're able to just minister to that one mm-hmm. person and bring
that's
him
all
to Christ,
that matters, man.
Because
yeah.
yeah.
if everybody ministers to one person, like, well, are we good?
Yeah.
Like, that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know how people there are out here that are believers? If everybody focused on one or two people, could change a whole world
that's
of people,
true.
Man.
Yeah.
That's so true.
Oh, this is what you said. The thing about being able to be around all these believers, it's so easy.
It's easy,
so,
yeah.
To take that
it's,
one.
It's right? easy. It's easy to be around everybody that's doing that same, but, you know, like, God, I mean, Jesus, when he walked, he was walking in, he was ministering to prostitutes, he was ministering
yeah.
to the all of them, man. And he didn't.
Everybody.
He could have been like, oh,
murderers.
Murderers.
Prisoners.
They like, don't touch my garments. Like,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
but no, he offered help, man, you know?
Man. And, like, sidebar before I get into my answer, but, like, this is really beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, to see these different faces of what walking with God looks like, and that, like, that's the goal of what we were trying
yes.
to do here.
Yes.
And to see, like, us speaking about trying to win people for Christ. And even if we could just get that one, like
yeah.
if we
that
just
one.
Get that one from this video, it's a beautiful thing, man. That's and true. I think that's part of why I try to sprinkle it into my friendships yeah. and like not even just sprinkle it, but like I just let it try and yo, heavy on it, like heavy with it. And I try to like exude that,
mm-hmm.
you know, like Patrick was saying, like people will ask me, how are you doing this? How are you doing that? Like, how's this happening? Even family will ask me, how are you doing this? And I'm like, honestly, it's just God.
God,
you know, like if I had a different answer, I would give it to you, but I can't take credit for none of this. Like
yeah.
it's no amount of hard work. It's just God working through me. And if I could keep being a light to what living for Christ looks mm-hmm. like, if I could keep being a light for like what it means to be a Black man, who is in tune with himself and loves
yeah.
others, but ultimately loves God too. Like, I'm gonna keep doing that. And whether it's through this, the platform, conversations I have, like that's something I continue to do.
Yeah.
And it's so refreshing, and I love it anytime someone hits me because of the work I do and they're like, hey, can you pray for me?
Yes.
Hey, can you help me find a therapist? Like the amount of people that ask me that and I'm like, God, you doing something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm licensed in any of that. You
mm-hmm.
feel me? Like I got an undergrad degree in social work, but to be professional, you got to go get a license and do mad clinical
yeah,
hours. That's this is just God given.
Mm-hmm.
And like to be able to help people in that way, and then I'm always going to sprinkle some Jesus in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful thing, man. And I couldn't ask for anything better. Like something about getting that one
yeah.
from and bringing them back to the 99 is a beautiful feeling, man.
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in with us. I hope you enjoyed this video just as much as we enjoyed making it. If you want to reach out to us, contact us in any way. If this was fruitful to you in any way, you can reach us at jordanspeaking.com, Daily Dimensions on Instagram, and I'll drop everybody else's links in the bio in the description. Until next time, peace.